This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. Chaplains have been part of the American military since the Revolutionary War. More than 400 chaplains have died while serving in the American military. The chaplaincy is an integral part of the U.S. military and is part of the Department of Defense. Despite the long history and tradition of serving the spiritual needs of service members, the very concept of military chaplains has come under criticism in recent years by humanist and atheist organizations that claim that religion has no role to play in the military and constitutes government endorsement of religion. Pastor Craig Mueller, a retired Navy captain, is the Missouri Synod's Director of Ministry to the Armed Forces. I discuss the issue of military chaplains with Pastor Mueller.
And now today's Fast Track.
Here's news in brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. In a July 29 statement following the release of a third undercover Planned Parenthood video, LCMS President, the Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison, called for prayer and action to protect the unborn. In his words, the Center for Medical Progress released another video exposing Planned Parenthood and the evil and immense pain that occur inside its clinics. The video is graphic. Little arms and legs are ripped from tiny bodies. Amid the ongoing Planned Parenthood controversy, and in keeping with its longtime pro-life stance, the LCMS continues to lift up the Synod's Life Ministry, its Sanctity of Life Committee, and partner organizations striving to protect the lives of the unborn. There were so many people lined up early for the Saturday, July 25 festivities in Ferguson's Forestwood Park that the gates opened 15 minutes before the official 10 a.m. start time. Once inside the fenced-off grounds at the Day of Hope, some 3,270 visitors were treated to free family portraits, haircuts, cell phones, shoes, bags of groceries, and a hot dog lunch. A community service tent featured dozens of local spokespersons who shared information about everything from early childhood programs to college loans, services for seniors, healthy living and health care, family safety, counseling, employment and housing assistance, and mentoring.
Este é a Notícias Luteranas pelo Mundo. This is World Lutheran News Digest.
I'm Kip Allen, host of World Lutheran News Digest. With me is Pastor Craig Mueller. Pastor, what is your role here with the Synod?
Hi, Kip. Yeah, I'm the director for the Ministry to the Armed Forces. So our role is to recruit, train, and equip chaplains to serve in our military, as well as to run a program called Operation Barnabas for our church.
Chaplains in the U.S. military goes back at least to the Revolution. In fact, George Washington instituted the military chaplaincy at the very beginning. So there have always been chaplains within the American military. Now, suddenly, we're coming under attack. In fact, isn't there a group now that's actually calling for chaplains to be excluded from the military?
Yes, there is. There's a group, it's called the Free Thinkers, but it's really Mikey Weinstein's group. It's an atheist group that has been really trying to establish that fallacy of the separation of church and state, as if that's in the Constitution, that we freedom from religion rather than the freedom of religion. And he's really been pretty active lately, the last couple of years especially, in attacking Christian chaplains and calling us anything from spiritual rapists to the fact that we should be court-martialed or thrown out of the military, resign if we can't do gay weddings, if we can't offer services to everybody, completely ignoring the fact that one of the freedoms we have is the freedom of religion, which means we're there also to take care of the men and women of our military who do have a faith and would like to exercise that faith, and so they need chaplains. And chaplains, of course, care for all people, including people of no faith. And that's where our discussion with Mikey becomes an issue. He acts like there's no place for his atheists or humanists to go to, but in reality, in our military chaplaincy, everyone can come in and talk to a chaplain, and they have the opportunity then to get them help. If they don't want to talk about religion, that's fine. The chaplain will refer them to somewhere where they can get the help that they need.
Even non-religious help.
Exactly. Absolutely.
You just came back from a meeting with the Chaplains Alliance for Religious Freedom. What was going on at that meeting? What was that about?
Sure. Maybe just a little bit about Chapin Alliance for Religious Freedom. It's an organization, nonprofit, that's a bunch of endorsers who are conservative Christians who really felt that there was no protection for our religious freedoms beginning under the DOMA a couple of years ago when DOMA was about to fall. We could see the writing on the wall that the Defense of Marriage Act was going to fall. And, of course, with the military, the executive branch could easily write an executive order, which he has done. And so we needed some kind of top cover, if you will, for our chaplains. So Chapin Alliance represents about 2,500 chaplains from a number of different denominations. And so we got together and we worked together to basically find a way to ensure that the truth is getting out there, that our chaplains are protected, that they're just defending the religious freedoms. So what we did this a couple weeks ago is to get together and talk about how can we lovingly keep the message straight, which is the facts, that every American deserves the religious freedom that they deserve, including our military people. When they join the military, they should not have to give up their freedom of religion, a choose between being a soldier, airman, sailor, marine, or Coast Guardsman, or not practice their faith.
If memory serves me correctly, when a person is sworn into the military, they can swear in the name of God.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you probably, some of the news there, that was under attack, and now it's still an option that now they can, they don't have to do that.
A swear or affirm.
Affirm, think, yeah. Right. Yeah. Or they don't have to say under God in some of the others, phrases. So, but still, if you're a religious person, one of the things that we know, especially as Lutheran Christians, is that we always hear, thou shalt not swear. But of course, as we know, in court and defense and also for an oath of office, it's certainly perfectly acceptable. And we're letting everybody know that this is a vocation that I swear by God's, in front of God and all people present, all witnesses, that I will defend my country. Oh, actually, I should say the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Absolutely.
So you said that you met to discuss how to counter this. Did you come up with anything concrete, any solutions or any strategies?
I think the big thing is because there was nothing really new to come up with, if you will, because we do have the Constitution. We have even military policy as is written in the National Defense Authorization Act, which is part of the funding of the military, which is law by Congress, gives us those protections. So the big part of it was just to encourage one another to keep telling that message, that is the truth. That the Constitution is the free exercise of religion and not the freedom from religion, even though you can choose not to have it, but it doesn't give you the right to throw chaplains out of an institution just because you don't agree with them or like them or believe them. So it's more of a helping us shape our message in saying what is the truth, that we're here to protect our sailors, soldiers, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen, and their opportunity to worship, and also the freedom of conscience. Because with the pressures now, an example was given of if there's a LGBT celebration, which is June, if a Christian is told that he has to go and support that event somehow, whether it's from playing in the band, marching in the colors, a command run, if you will, to celebrate this behavior, there should be a conscience clause that this is against their religion. This isn't anything other than that. You're asking them to celebrate something that goes to the core of their conscience and their religious faith, and it's for them to celebrate. So we want to educate our personnel that they do have rights, and there's opportunities to do the conscious objection to some of these things that are being pushed down to them.
It seems to me, though, that many of the authorities, both military and civilian, have been choosing to ignore these constitutional protections. Is that correct?
I think what we talked about, too, is I think our commanders, it may be more just being naive, or they just want to get through their commands. And when they hear from Mikey or other organizations, they immediately react and shut it down without realizing that, wait a second, that's not necessarily against the law, that people of religion have a right as well. And so sometimes I think they just don't want to be on Fox News. They just want to get through their job. They're dedicated, warriors. And so the commanders themselves are not out hunting for trouble or causing problems. But when it comes to their desk, we want to help educate them as that there is a freedom of religion that they have to consider when they make their decisions of whether this goes or doesn't go.
And, of course, these commanding officers also have a responsibility to the people under their command to protect them and to help them.
Absolutely. In fact, one of their biggest duties is written in policy and in law is that they have to provide for the free exercise of religion for all their command members. So that's why we do everything we can to get, whether it's Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, a rabbi, a priest, imam, anything we can to meet their religious needs without compromising someone else's faith.
And that brings into mind the other situation where each military chaplain is actually is sponsored by a particular faith. For example, the Lutheran chaplains, you actually have, you approve them, test them, or that's perhaps the wrong word, but I mean, you have to approve them and guide them. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, that's what's the beauty of our system. Believe it or not, with all the bureaucracy, this really works well, that the Department of Defense will not recognize anyone to be a chaplain unless they are ordained or endorsed is the best word. That's the word that they use in the DOD, endorsing agent. So a church in America has to say to the DOD and be recognized as a religious organization that this person is fit to be serving in the military. In other words, they wear two devices. They are going to be a good officer, but they also are going to be faithful to the organization that's sending them to be chaplains. And so there is no government God, because if you didn't have endorsers, then you would have the establishment of a religion. And that's why it's beautiful, is that they have to have an endorsement of a religious group to serve in the military. Because if you don't have that, then you do have the military establishing a religion or a faith group, if you will.
So this one comes completely from outside, and that sort of takes the wind out of Mr. Weinstein's sails.
Exactly. And I think the other thing, I just really want to hammer that point home, too, is, having been a chaplain for 28 years, I did numerous counseling sessions with those who had a weak faith, no faith, or basically did have an anger towards God. Something happened in their life and they were atheists, but we always treated them with respect and dignity and got them the help that they needed or the opportunity to get them where they need. And I think his point is that all chaplains are out there and they refuse to talk to anybody unless they're a Christian or of their faith group. And that's not it at all. Our chaplains have shown mercy and compassion to every single person in their command, and that's what their commander expects them to do.
It would seem, especially in the military, people are going to be running into many, many moral issues and spiritual conflicts. And it's one of the big differences between our military and, say, that of China, is that our military, we're all volunteers, and we are motivated by things like the Constitution, but there's something else. And this, we have this moral basis, this moral grounding. And this is something that the Chaplain's Corps fulfills. I mean, even an atheist will have many of the same moral feelings as a Christian.
Sure, absolutely. I think you really hit a nail there that's important for us. A lot of our services have core values. You know, they're different. Army has theirs, Navy has theirs, and Marine Corps and so forth. But the bottom line is they get a core value, a code of conduct and ethos from somewhere. Now, my atheist Marine may come to me and say, hey, that's just being a good citizen. And he may say that he got that from some other good book, or I don't know where he got it. But the bottom line is there's a moral code. And what is really important, and again, if we take away the chaplain corps, what about those American citizens who are spiritual, who have a deep faith or even a little faith, and in time of crisis then are denied that opportunity to come and talk to a chaplain or anybody that could meet their needs? So it shouldn't have to be an either or. I think the best bet, in my understanding, and working with chaplains again for 28 years, is that I have never heard of a chaplain in my little anecdotal world, which has been a lot of years of service, where a Christian chaplain berated or made fun of an atheist. Whereas on the other hand, we've seen some of the press lately, how there's been some really horrible comments about Christian chaplains and being unloving and should be court-martialed and so forth. But we're going to take the high ground on this and realize that we treat everybody with dignity and respect, regardless of their faith or non-faith.
So, how does Mr. Weinstein and his ilk defend the idea that the members of the military who are of faith somehow don't need this counseling?
That's a good question. I don't know Mr. Weinstein that well, and I can't, with the stuff that I've read, I'm not sure that there is a reason or an opportunity for them. It's a good question to ask him. I don't know, where would a devout Catholic Marine, a devout Lutheran Marine, go if all the chaplains were humanists or atheists, and they clearly say that they would not provide religious services or facilitate because they don't believe in it. It's really odd. As I heard on one of the shows the other day, someone said that's like, I want to be a boat captain. I believe in the Navy and a boat, but I don't believe the boat really exists. But I think I should be in the Navy to be a Navy captain. So I don't, that would be a good question to ask him.
Is that like a trance boat? No.
Yes.
Another question that has arised, we're seeing in the wake of the Supreme Court decision on homosexuality and gay marriage and the like, where many faiths, including ours, will not endorse gay marriage. We can't. It's scripture to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have seen some of our chaplains come under fire because of this. How do we respond?
Well, I think it goes, what you're saying is really where we're at now in this. One of the things we got together is how we defend our chaplains, again, by on paper, by law, by policy, and by constitution. We are protected, and chaplains can't be forced to perform ceremonies that goes against their conscience or the tenets of their faith. However, we do have those isolated incidences where something comes up, it blows up. Usually there's always more to the story that we don't know about, but it gives the impression that there's becoming more scrutiny that if you refuse to do a gay wedding, then you might be considered a non-team player. Nobody's really throwing around the word bigot other than Mikey and some of his comments being a bigot because you refuse to do that. But in reality, we already don't do every wedding. I don't do a Catholic wedding. I can't. I find a priest. I don't do a wedding for someone that I think is too immature, or they're doing it for the wrong reason. They just want to live together to get more money from the government for their basic housing allowance. There's all kinds of other reasons why I deny doing a ceremony. And it's not because I'm a bigot. It's just because in my conscience and my religion, deeply held faith, that I cannot do this because I believe marriage is a holy matrimony instituted by God.
And that, I think, is a point that is missing with many of the opponents here, is that those of us who do have faith, there is a very specific set of rules that we have to live by and things that we must do. For example, you pointed out with the marriage issue, I could not get married in a Catholic church.
Right.
I couldn't do it. I'm a Lutheran.
Exactly. And a Catholic, devout Catholic would not get married in your Lutheran church. It's... Yeah, it's to turn this into a either or a bigot thing is really just troubling, and we just got to walk these waters and continue to take the high ground that what we're just trying to do is be true Americans, and we're really going back to the point of we're asking this 18-year-old who's volunteered to serve his country to serve in an institution that they should not have to give up their freedom of religion to serve. They should be able to worship, pray, and live their faith as a soldier, airman, marine, or Coast Guardsman, and not have to keep that, check it out the door when they take their oath or when they get through boot camp. It's like, okay, now you're not religious. Leave that there. You're now part of the Marine Corps, which we know is an ethos of itself, but you're still can have your faith. And that's what we really want to get across to, you know, folks in our country, that this is not a battle over, converting everybody to Christianity. It's really about a religious freedom, the opportunity in a true pluralistic environment to worship according to your traditions and what you believe.
Have we been getting much support from Congress or from the higher ups in the military? I understand you mentioned that there's an office specifically in the Pentagon that deals with religious matters.
Yes, it's more a specific. It's actually called the Armed Forces Chaplain Board, which consists of all the chiefs of chaplains. They meet regularly, and they actually have a senior 06 chaplain who's the executive director. And so they work directly for the DOD Undersecretary for Manpower, which covers, you know, chaplaincy and religious issues and all the deals with personnel, which obviously anything from could be the commissary to dental stuff to religion. We fall into that category. So they do meet, and they keep working these issues, and they're trying to do the best they can to ensure that we have free exercise of religion. So from Congress, we definitely have our advocates, which we greatly appreciate, who continue to keep it in the National Defense Authorization Act to give us the law that we need to be basically the reinforcing our Constitution again. It gets a little murky when you get down to the tactical level of the using of the policy that they have. And that's where education, as we talked about earlier, letting the commanders know that it's okay to pray still. It's okay to let your chaplain, you know, preach and teach according to the tenets of their faith. And it's just a part of the American Constitution. I mean,
you know, the First Amendment. I mean, it's the first one that they put in the Bill of Rights.
Absolutely.
Craig, I want to thank you very much for being on the program. And this is a very important issue. How can we ask these people to defend us and yet at the same time saying they can't have their faith? We have to keep faith or we've lost.
Absolutely. And I thank you for repeating that, because that is the bottom line. All we're asking is that our American young men and women who join the military should have the right of religious freedom.
World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Worldwide KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Saturday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.